Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers in Jesus Christ, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I'm afraid today many are missing peace. Dan Nolte, in 1999, was number 31 on the New York Yankees. They had just beaten the Atlanta Braves in the World Series. But he did not think about life at that moment. Actually, he thought about death. Years later, in a Sports Illustrated article, he talked about how his life as a pitcher and his desire to be a Major League Baseball player had consumed him. So much so that in the steroid era, he was involved in drug abuse, and he basically became an alcoholic, and he became an abuser of drugs. He said, quote, "Suicidal thoughts were a regular pattern for me. I'm surprised I'm living, man. Between all the drinking and the driving I did and all the suicidal thoughts, how I'm alive is only by the grace of God." And so what happened to him on the night that they won the series, he went out with some friends, he found himself in Manhattan in a limousine, and all the other guys that were with him had passed out, and he asked the limousine driver in the wee hours of the morning, he said, "I want you to pull over." And the guy pulled over, and he got out of the back of the limousine and went and sat in the front seat with the driver. He said, "The driver looked at me real funny when I did that." He said, "I began to talk to the driver, and he said, we were going over the George Washington Bridge that goes over the Hudson River there going from Manhattan into New Jersey, and he said that he thought about jumping over that bridge, off of that bridge. He said that normally about one time a month somebody would do that. They would jump from the top of the George Washington Bridge and plunged 200 feet down to the Hudson River to take their life. Nolte had his hand on the handle of the door. And then he said this to the driver. He said, tell me if this is all there is to life. Because if it's all there is, just stop this car right now and I'll jump." The driver looked at Dan Nolte like he was crazy. He had just won, was on the team that had just won the World Series. Ravi Zacharias says it this way, "The loneliest moment in life is finally getting what you thought would deliver the ultimate and finding it wanting." The dream Nolte had always had became a reality, and yet he found it empty. The world seeks peace. It's in a state of chaos because of the problem of sin. What's going on in our world? Just this last week, we had a stabbing in London. 2 killed, 3 injured. The suspect was killed. We had a shooting in Pearl Harbor. We had a shooting in Pensacola. And some of our students are from Pensacola that study here at the university. We have a sister church, many of them over in that area. I know one that is having a prayer meeting today following this morning service about noon, from noon to 1, for the Air Force base that's there. There was a shooting in New Orleans as well. We have all the conflict that's happening over in Hong Kong right now. It just seems like there's unhappiness in many lives. Man's selfishness causes him to be at odds, in conflict with fellow man. Relationships are strained, and there's really no hope for mankind apart from God's intervention. Peace escapes us until we have God's intervention. We need, congregation, we need God's intervention. Go to Bethlehem. Come to Christmas, and you get God's intervention. Even in relationships, people are at odds, in marriages, parent-child relationships, we want peace. And then, sometimes we don't even have peace within ourselves. Often, we don't even listen to our own standards. You make a commitment to yourself and you say, you know, when this time comes, I'm going to be different. And then you find yourself lacking personally inside, and there's no peace. You say, I'm going to do different, and yet it doesn't happen. You know, Solomon in the Old Testament was the king. He had all the resources in the world, and he was looking for peace. He looked in amusements, works, accomplishment, pleasure, entertainment, music, fun. He tried all of that, and he had the resources to get it all. And then he said this, it didn't satisfy. He said it was all like chasing the wind. It was vexation of spirit, one version says. Now, in our passage, it says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest. The angel says to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. The word peace in the Bible means completeness. We've been talking about the blessings of Christmas. Last week was the hope of Christmas, the hope that a Savior would come and make things right. And so we talked about that last week. Today, the peace of Christmas. The word peace means completeness. It means soundness. It means to have well-being. In the New Testament, the idea is an idea that grace comes from the outside of our lives, giving us a beautiful picture of salvation. We ultimately find peace in Jesus. There is no other way to ultimately find peace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. Now, your outline is on the back of your bulletin there. Think about these three ways to think about peace. Romans 5:1 says we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Folks, there's no greater joy in the world than to be reconciled with God, to have peace with God. But the Bible also says that we receive peace from God. That's the second of your outline there, peace from God. In Romans 1:7, Paul writes the way he writes in most of his letters when he writes them. He says this, to all who are in Rome, this is Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can have peace with God. But ladies and gentlemen, we also can get peace from God, okay? But here's the third. There's another flavor. The word peace is like Baskin-Robbins. There's a lot of flavors, okay? It's amazing. Amazing word in the Bible. A huge word in the Bible, the word peace. The third one is we get the peace of God. In difficult circumstances, you need peace from God. You need to be at peace with God, no doubt about it. But sometimes you need the peace of God. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now I want you to take your Bibles and move back to the book of Matthew and go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. An angel appears to Joseph. Joseph finds out that Mary is expecting, and he's thinking about putting her away. And this one verse of Scripture comes from an angel who appeared to Joseph and says, "You don't do that." He says that she is pregnant from above. And in verse 23, our passage says this. The angel says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." We sang about Emmanuel today. Emmanuel, which is translated, say it with me, "God with us." Say it again. Say it with me. "God with us." The angel actually translates that for Joseph and for us. He says, which is translated, "God with us." Can I tell you this? Let's just settle it. Peace is found from a baby in Bethlehem. It's the only way that you're going to find peace, the peace of Christmas. I just want us to look at that three-word phrase today, just briefly, as we talk about Christmas, the peace of Christmas. Number one, God. He is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, it says this, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing." God, he is the Creator. By the way, everyone wants to know why I'm here. How did I get here? One of the key questions of life. How did I get here? Can I tell you something? You were created by God. Look at me with your eyes. You were created by Almighty God. Emmanuel, God with us. God. He was the Creator. He is the Creator. And then, he was before creation. Think about this as we think about him as the Creator. In Psalm 90, verse 2, I love this passage of Scripture. It says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before the foundation of the world was established, God was the Creator. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." In Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him?" God, he is your Creator. You know, ultimately, when you have difficulty, you've got to make a decision. Can you solve your own problem? Can you solve the difficulties that you face? Think about eternity. What's out there past death? You know, we don't know a lot about it, only what we see in Scripture. But there are those that think, you know what, I don't have to worry about that. I can solve it in myself. The ultimate form of humanism, the religion of humanism, is to say, I do not need God. I can solve my own problems in myself. It's like the guy that says, I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Put on a pair of boots and just pull on there. You will not get off the ground. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. You know, the truth is, God created you. He knows more about you than anyone. He knows more about you than you know about you. Dave Wright works in our tech ministry. He kind of loves working with wood. He and Christopher Prevett made this pulpit right here. Now, he found some, he reclaimed some wood, some kind of a Brazilian hardwood, and he actually created this pulpit. And Christopher made our little logo here for the front, the cross, and he made, he helped put this together. So, can I tell you something about this? I think I know a little bit about this, but because those guys made this, they know more about this than anybody else in this room. Matter of fact, they know that if you lifted this off there, there's a one little place under here that has a little crack. You didn't know that, did you? But Dave put the nail in sideways, just a little bit, and it just barely snuck out the side. There's this one little place under here that only he knows about. Why does he know about it? Because he made it. He knows more about this pulpit. Maybe there's a little spot on the back side of this thing, Christopher, that you know about, that you said, you know what, I'm going to mount that thing right there. Nobody else will even know that the metal has just a little tinge of a ripple. We would never know that, but he would know it. Why? Because he made it. Can I tell you something? One of the most freeing moments in life is when you come to a place that you realize that God knows more about you than you know about you, and that you trust him with the direction of your life, and you trust him. Emmanuel, God with us. Number one, God. Number two, with. He is over us. He is in us, and he identified with us. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it demonstrates that God is over us. He is outside of us. It says, therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is over us, but he's also in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, if you have turned from your sin and trusted Jesus to be your personal Savior, then Jesus takes up residency in your life through the Holy Spirit, and he is in you. You are the temple of God. So the scripture is telling us he is over us, he's in us, and he identified with us. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord Jesus identified with us. He left heaven's glory. Philippians chapter 2 says that he did not think it something to be grasped. He left the glories of heaven to come to this earth. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Bethlehem is all about. Emmanuel, God with us. He identified with us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the scripture says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so the Lord left heaven to be with us. So Emmanuel, Merry Christmas. Emmanuel, God with. And then the third thing, us. Jesus is a Savior for all people. Jesus is a Savior for all. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He did not come just for the rich. He did not come for the powerful. He did not come for the religious. He came for all of us. He came for you and he came for me, for everyday people. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." God with us. That's what Jesus did at Bethlehem. In Matthew 9:36, the scripture says this, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." When the Lord looks out on our world and all that is happening in our world right now, all of the lack of peace, I believe the Lord has compassion. When he sees us in difficulty and conflict, and he sees us in great need of peace, he has compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, the scripture tells the story of Jesus with the tax collectors. And it says, "Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" You know what a church is? A church is a hospital for sinners. Amen? A church is a hospital for sinners. Emmanuel, God is with us. And he came for all people. Look who will praise him in heaven. Look who will praise him in heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Several years ago, I took my family to the Smoky Mountains, and we went to a place called Newfound Gap. Who's ever been to Newfound Gap? You know where Newfound Gap is? It's on the road. Okay, I'm grateful we have three people in here that have ever been to Newfound Gap. You probably have been there. It's the road between Bryson City, North Carolina, and Gatlinburg. You wind up there and you go by Klingman's Dome. Anybody ever heard about Klingman's Dome? Okay, got some more hands there. And you keep going, you pass the entrance to Klingman's Dome, and you come to Newfound Gap. And if you stand at Newfound Gap, you can see several states. Well, there's the Appalachian Trail goes through there. Well, I got this idea that I wanted to take my family on part of the Appalachian Trail. Now, granted, we had driven up there in a van, and we were in just get out and look over the overpass kind of clothes, okay? But I said, I don't care, we're here, we're going. So we actually took off and we went to on the Appalachian Trail, and there's a sign there that said Charlie's Bunyan, 4 miles. Okay? Now somebody had told me Charlie's Bunyan was this beautiful overlook. And so anyway, I got them all out there and here we go. We started, well, after about a quarter of a mile, we were wore out, okay? Because it's up and down. It's roots. It's not a straight trail, flat. But I said, keep on pushing. Keep on pushing. So we finally got there. Well, can I tell you this? If you ever have a chance to go to Charlie's Bunyan, you got to go. What it is, it's, I guess the guy named it that first saw it. I guess his name was Charlie, and he thought it looked like a bunion on a foot because it's a knoll of a big rock that sticks out over the valley on the side of a mountain, and you literally, I mean, there's just hardly anything to stop you. Matter of fact, I think someone has lost their life. They slipped and fell. But you can go out on that rock. Boy, we took pictures and everything. You can go out on that rock, and you stand on that rock, And normally on the trail, you know, there are trees everywhere. You kind of can peek through and see. But I'm telling you, when you stood on Charlie's Bunyan, there was nothing impending your view. You know, sometimes when we, you ever stand in a valley or you're maybe in the mountains, and this is what happened to us at Charlie's Bunyan. You get out there and you realize how small you are and how huge that mountain is. I had that feeling when I went to Victoria Falls in Zambia. It was a trip of a lifetime. I was over there teaching the Bible, and a guy said, "Let's go. I want you to see this while you're in this country." And I went to Victoria Falls, and I thought, man, how great is God? You know, listen to this. I want you to think about this. When you realize how great God is, or how great His creation is, and how small you are, that can be freeing. That can be freeing. Because let me tell you something. If you believe that peace comes by something you generate, and it's up to you, boy, you've got to make it happen. You're responsible for the peace in your life. Then, man, I tell you what, you know what you do? You spend all of your life in a race trying to find peace. But when you're standing on the end of Charlie's Bunyan, and you take one more step and but you're standing there, and you actually feel that you want to just raise your hands in glory to God, because God is so massive and you're only getting a little teeny glimpse of it. Can I tell you something? When you realize that peace is not going to come from within, but it's going to come from outside of yourself, it's exhilarating, because you realize that God is the one that gives you that peace. The peace of Christmas. You ready? God with us. And by His presence, we can have peace. Peace comes from the baby in the manger. The baby Jesus who was prophesied in the Old Testament. The baby Jesus who created this earth. Who created you. He is offering you peace and giving peace to His children. The story so amazing of God's creation of man and man's ruining of that relationship. God created us and we ruined that relationship by our sin. The world says, you can fix it. You can fix your own peace. You can give yourself peace. And so what do? You try and you try and you try and you try to fix it on your own. Peace comes by that baby on Christmas when you know that God is there and He has made the way for you to know Him. God with us. I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.